Welcome back to We Are YA. I'm your host, Felicity.
And I'm your co-host, Shannon.
And on this season of We Are YA, it's the Vampire Academy Recap Party as we celebrate the release of Peacock's Vampire Academy series, which is based on the best-selling books by author Rochelle Mead.
Each week, we'll be looking back at the books, hearing from Vampire Academy fans, and recapping every episode of the show. And we'll even have some special guests, including author Rochelle Mead.
Welcome back to the Vampire Academy Recap Party. This week, we go deep into the final three books in the series, Blood Promise, Spirit Bound, and Last Sacrifice, looking at all the revelations, spoiler alert, and the betrayals, and the fan reactions to those big moments.
We're also going to discuss just how dedicated the Vampire Academy fans are and hear from some of you about your experiences in the Vampire Academy family. Speaking of fans, though, we want to welcome our special guest to the show from the Penguin Teen team, Carter, who works on our publicity team and is an ardent Vampire Academy fan. So, of course, we had to have them on the podcast. Welcome, Carter.
Hi there.
Hi, Carter. I'm so excited because I think I told you this, but when I was looking around for something on the internet, because I was just back-checking some Vampire Academy facts, I Googled and I was looking at a podcast and I'm like, wait a second, is that Carter from publicity? So you've actually done a podcast about Vampire Academy before.
Yes, yes, I have. I convinced another podcast to read Vampire Academy and talk about it with me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, all right, Carter. I think if you'd said no to me, I would have been a bit offended.
No, I'm always happy to talk about Vampire Academy.
As with every show, a big, 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 big spoiler warning, because we'll be discussing major plot points in today's episode from the final three books of the Vampire Academy series. And in fact, actually, the whole Vampire Academy series. So if you haven't read Blood Promise, Spirit Bound, and Last Sacrifice, any of those books, if you haven't read them, stop now. I give you permission to stop. Press pause. Save us in your favourites, of course. But go and read the books. Please, you want to experience these things unspoiled if you can. And I'm going to put out an apology to our producer right now who is listening to us, having only managed to get through the first three in time. And so we're about to ruin her day. Don't let us ruin yours. Go read the books and then come back with all these plot points already covered and you won't be spoiled.
All right, Carter, before we get into those books, tell us how you came to know the Vampire Academy series.
Yeah, so I was a huge Twilight fan. I was a part of that vampire era, and I finished the books and really needed something else to read, and my local library actually suggested Vampire Academy to me. And so I read the first book, forced my best friend to read the first book with me, and then we read all of the following books together, so a couple chapters at a time, then we'd call each other and talk about what happened. At the time, only up until book three was out. Ooh. So you can see what happened there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You had to wait for them.
Yeah, I did.
Shannon's like, this is a new thing for me. Never.
No, I don't know. I don't know what the experience is to like wait for the next installment.
Brutal.
I had the box set. Man, I walked over and got the next book in the series.
That was a particularly rough wait.
I know. So what did you get up to three and then have to start waiting?
And have to start
waiting.
Oh,
that's like the hardest one.
I think we were only like 3 or 4 months out from the release date, though. So like it wasn't too bad. It could have been like the entire.
I mean, as working at the publisher, I had even, I want to say even worse, but I had it better slash worse is I got to read it sooner because I got the manuscript as they came in. But I had no one I could tell because no one could know. And then I had to wait longer for the next one. So, like, I was always on the same waiting time frame, but just accelerated. But I will say one of the joys of it was as at working at the publisher, I don't know, again, who let me do it? I don't know. But I would live tweet my reactions to reading the manuscript ahead of time. And it got less and less specific and more just reactionary tweets of like, don't do it, Rose. And, oh, my God, Dimitri. And people would lose their mind.
I guess that's borderline cruel.
I mean, it was. It was absolutely cruel. And people would yell at me all the time, but also do more. Tell us more. And so it was an enjoyable way to to tease people what was coming. So I apologize to everybody who I did that to during those years. But I'm also not sorry at all. Speaking of those tweets, though, let's talk about the three books. Okay, so when we were last talking, Shannon, you had just gone into Blood Promise.
I did. I did, and I finished all three books now, so we can talk about everything now.
Okay, let's go. Tell me about Blood Promise, because at last episode, that was your favorite book.
It continues to be my favorite book.
Interesting.
I know that Shadowkiss is I feel like, a fan favorite in particular, mm-hmm. but I think the aftermath of Shadowkiss is just killer, like no pun intended, but it's amazing.
Okay, Carter, same question to you. Favorite book of the whole series?
Shadowkiss. No, yeah. It is Shadowkiss. Yeah. That is the answer.
That is correct.
That is the Shadow correct is wrong. Answer.
No, it's no. There is no incorrect.
Is that one. Yours too?
Yeah, yeah.
It's I get it. I get the love for Shadowkiss, but like the aftermath.
I mean, this is true.
It's messy and dramatic, and I was very much here for it.
I almost want to say my favorite book is the middle of Shadowkiss and the middle of Blood Promise, like the book, like the half the
don't
back
you
end
dare the exclude the end of Blood Promise, Felicity. I mean, that's why it's my
this
favorite.
Is true. Okay, so let's talk about Evil Dimitri.
Oh gosh,
everyone, hold on to something.
Evil Dimitri is rough to see because we see Dimitri before mm-hmm. in like such a Dimitri light, and you know you fell in love with him as Dimitri, not as like Evil Dimitri, if we're calling him that. Yeah, so it's just hard to see him change like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it hits your heart.
I think it's interesting that he sticks to his same Dimitri logic, even yes. as an evil vampire creature, because even as Strigoi, he starts giving Rose logic about, well, it's predator and prey, and the stronger beats the weaker kind of thing. Like, he's worked out his own Dimitri logic in his own, like, evil state.
Yeah. The man is a strategic thinker, good or bad. And also, he's obsessed with Rose, good or bad.
True.
It's just more overt when he's bad Dimitri. But even, like, I think best entrance line ever for him was that, you forgot my first lesson, don't hesitate. And she's like, she hesitated. Yes. And you're like, oh, no.
I know everyone threw their book across the room at the end of Shadowkiss, but that was a book-throwing moment for me.
It was such a good, good moment because it was, I think up until that point, we didn't know what Evil Dimitri was going to be like. And then you're like, oh, no, he's going to be so bad.
But I also think it clears, like, the confusion around, is it the same person
yeah.
when they become a Strigoi? You're like, no, it's the same person, just without a soul.
I mean, it was brutal, but also
he remembers everything.
There's like, a part of me that was like, it was kind of sexy. come on, let's be honest.
That sounds like a you problem for us.
I mean, I like a guy who shows me he's interested, be that be good or bad. He was clear. He was committed. The man knows what he wanted.
Is it a red flag? Maybe.
Yes. Yes. Okay, fine. It's not a healthy relationship.
Arguably all the guys in this could be red flags.
Yes, everyone needs a bit of therapy yeah. at VA.
What are you coming after Mason for?
I mean, his therapy is a whole different one of how to cope with being dead.
Yeah.
That's his therapy.
Oof.
Oh. But also, the other thing that I think that I love about Blood Promise, and this is because I have read Bloodlines, but it's the first introduction of Sydney Sage.
I liked Sydney.
Okay.
She's
Sydney.
So fun.
She is a great character. And she's very much a capable character, a resourceful character, but completely different to Rose. And I liked how they had to work together or not work together. It was fun.
There's the lore of, like, the tattoo and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that is just, like, such a clever and fun, like, addition to this already, like, really complex, like, magic system that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I'm dying to know if anyone out there has gotten a really committed, like, Vampire Academy tattoo similar to Sydney's.
I don't know about Sydney's one, because that's a face tattoo.
That's a face tattoo. That's what I'm saying. I want to know if there's any really diehard fans out there.
I mean, let us know. Feel free to tell Penguin Teen in their DMs on the social. We will definitely talk about it next episode if you have. I know that there are people, and this is from the Bloodline series, and we're going to talk about some tattoos later from fans, but from the Bloodline series is a very certain phrase. And it's Latin, and I can't pronounce it without butchering it, but it's centrum parabet, I think, is the thing. It means the center will hold. And every Bloodline fan who heard me just say that just went, oh. Carter's laughing because they know.
I honestly don't know Latin either, so I don't know.
But you remember, you've read Bloodlines, right?
Yes.
You remember that phrase and how important it was.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But pivoting from Bloodlines, but kind of still like in that same vein, pun intended, Adrian.
Yes.
Adrian and I'm sticking back to Vampire Academy because we're not putting Bloodline spoilers on this. Adrian, I feel like he deserved a lot better going out for the Vampire Academy series. In particular, I felt very bad for him at the end.
Yeah. He has a journey, and it's not a great journey. I'll say that. My belief is that Adrian was never in with a chance.
No, he wasn't. He really wasn't. That's kind of what's sad about it.
And he was honestly so patient with Rose throughout this entire Dimitri coming back process. Like, so patient. And
so supportive.
Extremely understanding and supportive.
Like didn't he, give him money and stuff?
He gave her money, but also, low-key, that was in exchange for her giving him a chance when she got back.
And I was that's true.
It's a little sketchy.
Actually, I forgot about that. That's not right. But that is almost his problem the whole time, is he was trying to get into her, he was trying to bargain his way into her mind as opposed to earning, not earning it, but it just, he never could quite get that equal balance. And it just always felt like, I've seen people still say, no, they were the better pairing and they should be together. There are Rose and Adrian fans out there who exist and who still believe that that was the better choice.
I'm an Adrian fan, not a Rose and Adrian fan.
There we go. There we go.
I was going to say, I love Adrian, but I don't think they were very good together.
No. And I think particularly that last scene in Last Sacrifice, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but that relationship post-mortem that they have.
No, the way it ended was really ugly.
Oh, it was brutal.
But I can't blame him either.
No, I mean, to be honest, Rose, you did a not so great thing in Last Sacrifice.
No, that's straight facts.
You were with a partner, you had a boyfriend, and you cheated.
Yep.
That's I'm fully on that Rose did a bad thing.
Yeah,
but Rose is also fully conscious of the fact that she did a bad thing. Which I like that character development.
I also think it would be pretty hard to resist the love of your life going, you know what, I was wrong. I do love you. I can't resist you. And you were in a hotel room together.
Also, stakes are high. Seems kind of near death, dire situation.
Was that
too.
Pun also intended? Or?
Yeah, a little bit.
But I know I do. And I think the funny thing, particularly around, I remember Last Sacrifice when it came out, that very many Adrian fans were really upset with the ending because they weren't sure there was a Bloodlines, they didn't know there was a Bloodline series coming. And so everyone just thought he got a really rough ending as a character. And ended in a very depressed, angry state.
I was very upset with the ending at the time.
Yeah.
I thought Adrian deserved better. So.
That's why, again, for the 400th time, I will encourage everyone, go and read Bloodlines.
Yes.
Because the character development for Adrian, if you're an Adrian fan at all, his character development in Bloodlines is everything you want it to be. It's everything he needs to go through. Mm-hmm. And it does actually... There are some really nice moments with Rose that he has in that book series that do repair the damage that was caused,
is all
I'll say. I want to go back, though, to Blood Promise because it's actually one of my favourite characters in the series is Abe, Rose's dad.
He's a great character.
Mm-hmm. He is the best.
Also, that reveal that Abe is her dad.
I like Rose's, very suspect commentary about her parents talking to each other again. She's like, I don't know how I feel about that.
I do love, though, that she's like, my dad's got swag. You could see, too, where both parts of Rose come together in that moment, where she's got her dad's brashness and, bravado and things, and she's got her mum's, strategy, killer instinct kind of vibe going on there, while also hating both of them. Oh, the Hathaways have a complex family dynamic.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I love it. So Spirit Bound,
man.
I had forgotten that in Spirit Bound, in my mind, I thought Dimitri came back to being good much earlier. I'd forgotten some of the stuff he did, including kidnapping Lyssa.
Well, Steve, he does a lot of stuff in Spirit Bound. A lot happens in Spirit Bound. I get that it's a bridge to the big finale, but a lot happens in a short amount of time in that book. Challenge for you, what are your top moments from Spirit Bound?
I mean, the thing that always I remember that destroyed me was the conversation he and Rose have where she's like, why can't, once he's cured, which was also a hugely top moment, followed very quickly by, because at this point I'm like, ride or die for Rose and Dimitri, always will. When they had the conversation and she's like, why won't you come back to, you're good now, let's get back together, let's continue on what we were already building. And he's like, I can't, I can never. And his reasoning is solid. He's like, I can't undo what I did to you and I can't forgive myself. And it speaks to that thing you guys were saying before about how virtuous he is.
Well, and I think on top of that, like, I would take it back to a few moments earlier to when Lyssa stakes him to bring him back from being a Strigoi, because I was expecting that moment to be like, he gets up and he's like, Rose, I'm back. Like, I was expecting that to be a very happy moment. And instead, he's sobbing into like Lyssa's lap. And Rose is like, hi, I'm here. And he like does not see her. That, oof.
I was so upset reading it for the first time. I remember this like very clearly. I was so upset that they didn't just auto go back to being right. like how they were. But to be fair, also like, preteen logic here, thinking that everything would be okay. Now looking back, I really do like that things don't go back right away to like any semblance of the way they were before, because things have changed, and like that is like an important aspect of this book and this journey. Yeah.
And it does actually speak to how Rochelle handles trauma,
mm-hmm.
in that again. When I was reading it for the first time, it didn't factor into my mind. Now it totally does. That actually was a trauma response from him. And of course he couldn't just pop up and be like, I love you, Rose. Let's get back together. Like, it was just implausible that that would happen. But I was the same. I was like, but you're okay now. Get together. Life is good.
Well, I feel like that was traumatic for Rose, too. She had been held hostage, like, weeks before by this man for I don't even know how long. I can't remember how long the timeline in Blood Promise was, but weeks. It was a while.
They also had a pretty epic fight to the death on a bridge where she actually killed him in
her
mind.
Well, and she accepted his death after that happened, too. Yeah. She was like, no, he's dead. He's gone. And then he comes back, and then he tries to kill her, and then she brings him back, and he's like, actually, you know what? I don't want you. So, I don't know. Like, controversial opinion. If Dimitri asked me to, like, spend eternity with him as a Strigoi, I would consider it.
So Shannon hasn't left the house in Russia, is what we're saying. She's still there hanging out because he asked.
You know what? I have my reasons.
You said I had red flags, girl. I worry about you. I am worried about you now.
It's hard to imagine what's all gone wrong.
Would you have left the house? Are you staying? At what point?
No.
Are you...
I would have moved on and been with Adrian already.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you would have staked and dusted and forgotten. And
yeah, I'm out.
Wow, okay. So we're all at different stages of red flag behavior with men. Great.
Yep.
Good to see. Healthy, guys. But on a serious note, though, it does actually speak to Rose's – Dimitri acknowledges his trauma in a weird way. Obviously, he breaks down. He has to go through it. He says, this is the things I've done wrong. Rose doesn't ever seem to, until really close to the end, acknowledge errors, mistakes, trauma. She just – it's classic Rose, powers through. Just like, I'm just going to keep running forward. That's how I get through these things.
But it happens all at once near the end, during the murder of a particular not-so-great person, if everyone remembers that. So it kind of all comes crashing down all at once. But I feel like that's very in line with Rose's character. Every time she breaks down, it happens all at once, and it's usually after a lot of things where you're like, how are you still standing right now?
Right. Well, speaking of a certain character and a murder framing, we end Spiritbound with Rose framed for murder, which, classic Rose.
But turning into that like whole murder sequence and the grand finale that is Last Sacrifice, I did not see who the actual murder was coming. Like, I did not guess that until the end. I'm curious to know if I was the only person who did not figure out who the murderer was.
I had no clue.
I feel like... No, I think, and so we could say, again, spoiler alert, but we've been spoiler dropping this whole conversation, yeah. But Tasha Ozira, the murderer, framed Rose. At one point, I think, I don't remember if it happens in the book or if it's just my thought process, I thought Tatiana the Queen, who is murdered, had actually sacrificed herself to get Lyssa into the Queen chair.
Oh, you came up with your own, conspiracy.
I went really red, like, left.
You were writing fan fiction somewhere.
Yeah, I want to
I
see
wasn't,
you.
Actually, but I don't know what stopped me. Maybe because I knew Rochelle, and it would have felt really weird to do that.
I felt like a fake fan reading Last Sacrifice, because I didn't have any suspects. I was like, I don't know who did this. At first, I was like, oh, Victor. He must have somehow done it. But, like, Daniela was the other, like, top suspect, and I was like... No, I never would have guessed that either.
Mm.
I did have one other major heartbreak on Last Sacrifice,
okay.
Because it's just come to mind. The bond breaking between Lyssa and Rose.
Oh.
That was sad.
But I also think healthy.
I'm full circle. Because you do, like, you start the book with, like, you know, the bond being, like, the most important aspect of the book. And then you end it with it ending. So.
And I feel like it's also growth.
Yeah.
Like, both of them. I feel like Lissa was using Rose a little bit as a crutch up until that point.
I don't think a little bit is the word I would use.
Okay. I was trying to be nice to Lissa.
I think full-fledged Rose was like a third leg for Lissa.
Yeah, okay.
And that was kind of what their friendship was built on. So I felt a little bit sad about that going, because that was part of what made, like, her guardianship with Lissa so strong. But at the same time, it is very full circle in that Rose is like, oh, this is how normal friendships are supposed to work.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to see into your mind and your thoughts. No, that's probably fair. Yeah, yeah. I do want to shout out our stable couple. Lissa and Christian,
yes.
Who, yes, have some issues.
Mostly stable.
More stable than everybody else, is all I'll say.
None of them are becoming evil or anything.
No. And yes, they have issues, like, you know, royalty queen issues. Yes. But no one's breaking up with everybody and then committing to someone else and then getting back together with someone else and, you know.
Okay, you know, Sonia and what's his name?
Mikhail.
You know what? They were... Aside from her becoming an evil creature of the night, they were pretty steady.
And even then, he did a Rose, and he did a Shannon, and he stayed with her. Okay, so as a series, Shannon, you're the newest member to reading the series.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of these six books, having read it this year, do you understand where all this noise comes from, this fandom, this hype, this, like, this is, you have to read this?
I think I actually texted you, like, 3 days ago on probably around the end of Spiritbound. It was, I think, around the line where Dimitri is like, love fades, mine has. I texted you, like, this series of texts. I was like, why didn't you tell me to read this before? This is amazing, and I'm hooked, and blah, 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 blah. And you were like, Shannon, I've been telling you for years.
Yeah. I did. I think the first one was like, why didn't you make me read this? I'm like, I tried. And Carter, for you, when you finished the series the first time?
It was my favorite series of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, it was everything, like, I could think about and read about. And, like, I reread the books, like, right after I finished them. I remember that.
Yeah.
I think it also stands up still, like, even today. Yeah. Like, I don't know, it's been, like, 10 years since I read them, something along those lines. And so, I don't know, it still stands up. It's still good.
Ooh, if it's been 10 years, then Carter, I've got some trivia questions that are going to be rough for both of you.
Okay. Shannon every week surprises us with a quiz that I never know is coming. So, all right.
And if you are listening at home, make sure you play along. See how you do against Felicity and Carter. Our first question for Blood Promise is, what does Rose say to Dimitri when she stabs him and throws him over the bridge?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a tough one. What did she say to him?
There are people at home, like, yelling into
their phones. I can feel them screaming at me. Is it something about I didn't miss this time, or, like, I never hesitated?
You know, you're close, because Dimitri says something to that effect. He says, that's what I was supposed to say.
Oh,
can you guess it now? There's your clue.
I love you.
It was, I will always love you.
I will always love you. Yeah. And he, like, yeah, there's a thing. I knew there was, like, a back and forth of, like, I was supposed to, you was, yeah.
It's a rough moment. It's a rough moment.
That whole scene.
And then that was a detailed one. So if you got that at home, well, props to you. And our next question is, what is the legendary nickname Abe has in Russia? What do people call him?
Oh, no. I know it. I don't, but I do.
It's like, it's not the snake. It's like the something.
Oh, you're close.
People are
very
screaming
close.
At us.
The serpent?
So it translates to the snake.
I knew it.
But he's called Zemei.
Oh!
That was it. Yeah.
I'm good at the translations. I got the translation last week. See? It's still
there. You did. You did. It was the secret society in
yes.
Shadowkiss.
The hand. Yep.
All right. So our question number three is, Dimitri's sister Victoria is in danger of being taken advantage of by this awful guy. And Abe offers to stop this at a party if Rose agrees to do what?
Oh, leave the country.
Go back home.
That
yes.
is correct. All right. There's one more bonus question.
I also just decide, love that she, like, fully met Dimitri's family.
Yeah.
Like, he would have, like, normal Dimitri would have been, like, wanting to do it appropriately and in the right respectful way, and Rose is just busting into Russia. Hey, your boys. I mean, she didn't tell them, did she?
She did. She was the one to tell them.
Oh.
Also, I love Dimitri's grandma. So.
I mean, their whole family. I yeah. love that he's, that's the thing I, like, of course he's female gaze because all women in his life.
Yeah.
Like, love that.
All right, spirit-bound questions. Here we go. Where is the prison Rose breaks Victor out of?
Alaska.
Oh, that is correct.
Ooh, sorry, I was ready.
Wow. Shannon didn't even finish it.
Didn't even finish it. And if anyone missed that, the answer is Alaska. How do you bring a Strigoi back to life?
Enchanting a stake with spirit, with specifically.
That's correct. There's one more element to it, though.
You have to stab them with the stake.
Stab it. The spirit user has to stab them.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Okay. The spirit user.
We got
must.
It. Together we got it. It
has to be a spirit user. All right. And our final question for Spirit Bound is, how old does the council want to make the new graduating age for dance?
16.
For, wow. I did not
I
even
am
finish.
Wow.
It's all coming back to Carter really quickly now.
16. That
turned,
one.
Felicity, you're going to need to step up your game. Carter is really needing
it. Starting off strong, and Carter's like coming from behind for the win.
That's all right. You got one more book to catch up. Last Sacrifice. Who does Rose kill in Last Sacrifice? Who is not Strigoi?
Who is not Strigoi? Who did she kill?
I don't remember.
The answer is Victor.
Oh, right.
Which is kind of an accident, but she looks back like, I didn't have
to
go so hard on him.
Right.
Next up, what career does Jill's mother, Emily, have? This is a key point in figuring out who the murderer is.
She's not a feeder, is she?
No. Felicity.
No. I'm trying to think of how... And if we didn't even discuss Jill being the secret half-sister, the Dragomirs.
Yeah, we didn't. I love Jill. She's great.
Does she... Is she a dancer? Ballet?
That is correct.
Hey!
She's a dancer. She is a ballet dancer who gets noticed by Eric Dragomir as a showgirl in Las Vegas.
The Dragomirs are a messy family.
They're very messy.
Messy. Like, they all, like classic royals, they all pretend they're awesome and amazing and above it all, and they are messy behind the
scenes. And they're
the
messy
scenes.
Beyond the grave. Like.
Yes. Secrets a go-go.
Yep. Oh, yeah. All right, we are down to our final question for The Last Sacrifice.
I haven't been keeping any score.
And I'm kind of keeping score. I'm pretty sure the score is that Carter is winning by a lot.
Oh!
And, and our final question is kind of a tricky one. What is the name of the group of humans, Maroi, and Dampires that Dimitri, Rose, and Sydney seek refuge with in the woods while on the road?
The Keepers.
Ooh.
Yes.
All right. Felicity got that one.
I will lie. I will admit the truth. And I could have lied. I will admit the truth and say that I did see that today on a wiki because I was checking
something.
So
all right.
That's not quite a cheat. I would not have gotten that.
But that concludes our Vampire Academy trivia quiz for today. Thank
Woo-hoo.
You so much for joining us, both of you.
I think we can give Carter the crown. Carter
I think
wins.
We can give Carter the crown, the throne, if you will.
Well, Carter, as a chief fan... Let's talk about fans.
A big part of the Vampire Academy fandom is the community, and there are some truly, truly, truly dedicated fans out there.
Mm-hmm. I would say I remember really early in the fandom, kind of around book two or three, there was a moment where people didn't know what to call the Vampire Academy fandom. And it was because Vampire Academy, it's a lot of words to say, 2, 4, 5 syllables. And so at the time, Twilight had like the fan name. They were like Twihards, which they probably hated, or like Twilighters, or they were Team Edward or Jacob. VA didn't really have anything. And then I don't know where it came from, so I can't credit whoever came up with it originally, but very quickly it sort of took hold was hashtag, or you don't have to say hashtag because that sounds dumb, but like VA family. Became a thing because it was this idea that the fandom was very international. There was a lot of fans from all over the world coming together to kind of be the underdog vampire series to Twilight. Obviously, Twilight, huge. And everyone was like, no, you've got to read this series. You've got to read this series. And it was done under this umbrella of like VA family, of like, we're all this big family. We don't fight each other. And I think that was probably the big difference between us and Twilight was there was Team Edward and Jacob.
Whereas, I don't know, Felicity. There's some Team Adrian and Team Dimitri sparring going on out there.
But it was never as aggressive, right?
That's fair.
Yeah, no. definitely with, like, the Twilight movies. Like, I think that propelled some of, like, the more, what's the word I'm looking for? Divisive?
Yeah.
Yeah. A more divisive fan base. Yeah.
And speaking of the fan base, Carter, you said you were a big fan early on. And we heard something about you making your mom go to some pretty extreme lengths for the sake of the fandom.
Yes. So when I was about 15, there was a RT Book Lovers convention in Kansas City, Missouri. and I'm from Nebraska, where there is no one comes through for signings ever. If you're from the Midwest, you know. But in Kansas City, it was like a 4.5-5 hour drive away. So I convinced my mom to drive me all the way down to Kansas City so that Rochelle Mead would sign my book.
Oh. So wait, exciting. That's a 10-hour return journey.
Yes, total.
Did you do it in like one day?
Yes.
Whoa.
We left at like 5, 6 in the morning, and then we came back that evening.
How long were you like, did like Rochelle sign your book? Did you guys get to talk or anything?
Yeah, a little bit. It was like... It was like teen day. Yeah. And so.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. So Rochelle was signing with a whole bunch of other authors. And then there were a bunch of panels. And then there was like a little party thing at night.
Oh.
Where like the authors still showed up and said hi and stuff. And it was nice.
Was it like the best day?
Did yes. You just have, it was the best day of my life.
Yeah. Shout out to Carter's mom.
I know.
Yeah, really though.
See, that's a 10-hour journey, return journey. But, like, yep. That's the – like, I will say, as, again, I used to be a publicist, I would go to these signings and be the person standing next to Rochelle handing her the books. That is not a unique story. There are so many parents out there who've done such wonderful things to get their children to come to these events. And so I want to shout out all the parents who support their kids being readers. It is a monster effort and thank you, because fostering a love of reading is very important. I'm getting all emotional. But anyway, I'm going to stop now. So I will say we also asked you, the Vampire Academy fans listening to this from the Penguin Teen social media channels, what your fan stories were. We wanted to know what your big moments were, and we have some great ones to share. So we're going to grab some from the Instagram, from the Twitter, share some of our favorites.
All right. And kicking off with, I think, kind of a more classic Vampire Academy experience. This one comes from a fan. On our bus ride to camp, I told my friend the entire story of the first book by heart.
Next fan one's from the IG stories is Indigo Spell. This one's amazing. Indigo Spell came out the day after my girl was born. I made my husband stop at a local bookstore on the way home from the hospital. Then I made him hold the book so I could feed while I read. Then I made him get tissues and deal with his hormonal mess of a wife during Adrian's declaration on the plane.
That's love. I'm just going to say it. That's love.
That's amazing. What a good husband.
What a great guy.
Yeah. Sky _MS said, forced the books onto my friends in 2009, and then I would grill them on their favorite parts. I did that, so.
I love that I got a test.
Yeah.
You want to be my friend? All right. Here's your exam. I don't blame them.
No, I know. Not only am I going to give you a recommendation, I'm going to make you prove that you took my advice.
Vampire Academy Bound said, just yesterday, I got my whole book club interested in watching the show next week.
Yeah.
With a handle like that, I wouldn't expect anything less.
I know. But still, I'm like, I love that she's out there doing Peacock's TV series promotion for them. She's like, I will make my book club watch this.
All right, our next one is, I made incredible friends for life bonding over the books, over 10 years now. And the books helped me navigate through some dark times, especially mental health related, thanks to Lissa's story.
Rochelle said it last week. She does still get a lot of emails and DMs and things from people who've sort of taken a lot from Lissa's story. So, and I think Adrian's story as well.
Vampire Academy Brazil said, I read VA after Twilight. Me too. I wrote Brazilian fanfics, and I became a staff member of VABR in 2013. And also in 2013, I got a cat named Rose, who has now unfortunately passed away.
I love that, though, that, like, yeah. I mean, not that the cat passed away. But, like, that pet, there's probably a lot of pets out there with names from Vampire Academy, I'm sure.
This is my orange tabby, Dimitri. Yeah,
that would be amazing.
Imagine if you had, like, Dimitri Rose and Rosa. Rose and, yeah.
The whole court would be awesome. VA Fandom USA. I fell in love with VA books from when I began reading the series in 2008-2009. Shout out to the early readers. When I heard the news of a VA movie, I created a Vampire Academy fan page first on Twitter in June of 2013. Soon after, I also made a page on Facebook and on Instagram. Back in 2014, I was invited to write an article for the Vampire Academy official illustrated movie companion book. Whoa. Ooh. As a writer and a book lover, this was a dream opportunity, especially for one of my all-time favorite book series. My pages have grown with other VA family around the world as we now get ready to enjoy the show adaptation of these beloved books by Rochelle Mead. Aww.
Aww,
that
made me a little
emotional. Fan said manifest.
I know. Yeah. But, like, that's so great that, like, no, it's just really grown. And as a writer, what a great experience to have their work, you know, put into a book.
That's amazing.
Good job, VA Fandom USA.
Our next one comes from Twitter. It says, I found the red editions that are almost impossible to find in a small town secondhand bookstore. I cried and explained to the owner that I've been looking for these for years. I struck gold.
Have you seen the red ones?
I'm jealous. I saw a picture of them.
I haven't.
They're the UK editions. So UK, the Penguin UK published them a red with a very different jacket, very different look. And yeah, they're very
beautiful.
Kate from Twitter said, last year when I was reading VA for the first time, there was a big earthquake in my city and I was outside. While I was running to protect myself, I said, OMG, I'm not going to finish Vampire Academy.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Like,
understandable that that's your first thought.
Family and friends, you good? Second thought. Vampire Academy, no!
Everyone always asks that question, like, if today was your last day, what would you do? And this person knows.
Yes. Okay, this next one is from Kat from Twitter. I could go on about the Aussie VA community. I'm involved so much in the bookish community because of it. But the first time I travelled interstate was for the Vampire Academy movie meetup in Melbourne. Second time was for the Ruby Circle book launch, where I met Felicity. Hey! Made lifelong friends, and we fangirled over the book trailer, Adrian Actor. I then loved Melbourne so much, I moved there a few years later. Oh, I know Kat very well. And yes, this is true. We had a lot of meetups in Australia during the VA period. We also had book trailers that we did for Bloodlines, and we had cast. And we had to recast Adrian. That was a, yeah.
What?
So the first book trailer we did for Bloodlines was more silent. There wasn't lines. And we just knew that the guy who we had wasn't going to quite work for the second series when we did the second book. So we actually had to cut the guy and replace him with another person. But it was Nick Wheeler, who became our Adrian book trailer. If you go to YouTube and type in Bloodlines book trailers, you'll find them. He was great. He was actually American, who lived in Australia, so he could do an American accent really well. And his dynamic with Daisy, who played Sydney, was spot on Adrian and Sydney. They were like, she was organized, she was on time, she had a script, she marked her lines. He would saunter in and kind of like very Adrian it. And he was great. And they would come to some of our meetups and do things with fans, and it was a really fun time. So
I'm feeling very left out of all of these like fan meetups that apparently used to happen because I came to the series so late. It sounds like I just missed out on a whole like expedition.
I mean, I think it was around the time when bookstores used to have midnight release parties.
Yeah.
And Last Sacrifice, I think in the US and particularly in Australia, definitely had some.
I personally didn't get any. Again, Nebraska doesn't have much. But I know I heard of them.
Yeah.
And they like were a thing.
Our next one comes from Twitter and says, I finished the third book at 4 a.m. and that day I had the final exam of physics. But it was all worth it. I love the books and love Romitri.
Oh, 4 a.m. and you had an exam.
This person didn't say how the exam went.
No. Yeah, we want to follow up on that. Did you pass? Maybe it was the adrenaline of book four that got her through, though. Or the third book. Oh, no, my God. She finished on the Shadowkiss cliffhanger. Ooh. Oh.
I wouldn't be able to. No. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Like, I'm sorry. Rose has to kill the man she loves. I can't complete this test.
K_Moonchild from Twitter said, I took a Russian class because of Vampire Academy. I loved it. Don't remember much now, but I do know how to read in Cyrillic.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
It's commitment.
That's, yeah. Zara from Twitter, I promoted a Vampire Academy so much for a whole year, and still is, to the point that I got interviewed by a verified company for the upcoming TV adaptation. My biggest achievement for real. I love it.
I'm really impressed by a lot of these fan stories.
I know. I love how much, like, all the fans are, like, doing so much of their own work that, like, all the companies are like, we need to interview you because you're so passionate about it.
The community is so strong and everyone's so friendly with each other.
Yes.
And I love that people are making, like, lifelong friendships through this. Speaking of tattoos, back to our conversation earlier, Anana on Twitter said, my first tattoo was the Promise Mark. It's one of my favorites. I literally read Blood Promise in, like, 4 hours. I couldn't stop to eat or do anything else.
Four hours.
It's a big book. That's a
big book. I want to say it's like 500 plus pages.
It's, yeah, I think so. It's
4 hours.
How fast? I'm a slow reader.
I am too.
I'm a really slow reader.
I'm only fast when I'm listening to an audiobook at 3x speed.
Do you listen at 3x speed? Whoa.
Also on the topic of tattoos, VA headquarters says, so I do have a tattoo. It says, don't hesitate, with the Promise Mark right next to it. I've traveled 6.5 hours to see Rochelle. I actually made a special trip in one day. I did the whole trip in 22 hours.
God, I just got beat.
Yeah. Impressive.
It was one of the greatest times of my life. Also, now that I think about it, I've had this account as well as my Tumblr and Instagram account for, at this point, almost 10 years, and it is a Vampire Academy, like, dedicated account. So I've been a fan of Rochelle's for about 15. It's been a wild ride, and I'm excited for the upcoming show.
Aww. I love that. I love how long the fans have been around for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, vampires never die. Hey-oh. Sorry. That's the dumbest joke ever. And people say it all the time.
Felicity, I'm going to have to ask you to leave now.
Thanks, everyone. This was Felicity's last podcast. It's been a pleasure. You know, we talk about it all the time, about the couples and the relationships and the epic moments, but at the foundation of Vampire Academy, the whole series is a female friendship.
Yeah, I mean, even when it comes down to, like, Dimitri and Rose, Rose was ready to kill Dimitri, and the only reason she couldn't was Lyssa pushes her out of the way and risks her life to bring him back, and that still is, like, at the core of Lyssa and Rose.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons I love this series, is the friendship between Lyssa and Rose. Like, sure, the guys are fun, but Lyssa and Rose are, like, what it all comes back to, so.
Rose jumped in front of a bullet for her friend.
Literally,
I put her life on the line. And so I think in a way, I'm excited to see that, because I'm going to segue us here into our next episode as well. But I'm excited to see that because we're about to move the series, this podcast series, into a different zone. Because as of next week, we will be recapping the Peacock TV series.
Ooh, I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And so I think I'm excited to, I want to know from you guys, and this, we didn't talk about this ahead of time, what is the one thing you're most excited to see about on the screen from this series? Because obviously I'm assuming you've seen the trailers, so you kind of have a hint of what's coming. What's the one thing you like ready to see?
How they pull together the royalty and all of like the government concept that is behind this whole story. I think that'll be interesting.
For sure.
I'm excited to see the aesthetic of the school. That sounds like a very, like, surface level thing, but I'm excited to see the school because it's so gothic and just roped. Like, the setting is a big part of what roped me in initially. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see the set.
Some of the shooting locations look really great.
That's just based off the trailer. Like, the school looked really great.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see it split into episodes. Like, yes, there was a movie that came out forever ago that kind of, like, shoved the entire first book into like 2 hours, but we actually get a show now that can break out all the different elements that we love.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how they do that. What are you excited for, Felicity?
I'm excited for the unexpected. And I think as a book reader, it'd be really easy to say I want to see it as I see it in the books, beat by beat by beat, and that would be great. But I want them to turn things. I'm excited. I think it would be really boring to kind of anticipate every hit and just watch it. Because it should be like, yeah, I knew that was coming and they did it well. Great, whatever. I want to be surprised. I want to be like, whoa, that happened sooner than I expected. Or wait, that wasn't, you know, like I like someone to play with what I think is going to happen. I think that's always fun. It's just, it's an adaptation. It's not a recreation.
Well, I guess we will all see that come to life next week.
But before we do, before we wrap up the show, Carter.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I had so much fun. I love talking about Vampire Academy.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that may be an inclination of you may want to come back for future episodes.
I would love to.
Okay. Okay.
Tell your mom we say hi.
She'll come on next.
Oh my God. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could interview all the mums who've driven people hours across the country? Be sure to join us next Friday on Vampire Academy Recap Party Season as we go into the first 4 episodes of the Peacock series. Because that's right, the first 4 episodes will drop on 9/15. We'll react to all the big moments, talk about our instant favourite characters, and so much more.
And we'll welcome back author Rochelle Mead, who's going to give us her reaction to the first 4 episodes of the series. Be sure to follow Penguin Teen on social media as we ask for your reactions to feature in upcoming episodes. See you next week!